Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. Follow us here. Kids are back in school. Vacations are over. All right. Okay. It's officially the start of cozy season, which means it's time to slide into some Bombas. You know Bombas, the most comfortable socks and slippers made from premium materials that actually make sense for this time of year. Bombas are made from the softest materials. Think merino wool that keeps you warm when it's chilly, but cool when it's hot. Supima cotton that's softer, stronger, and more breathable than regular cotton. And even rag wool, the thick, durable, classic, cozy sock you'll want all fall. And it's not just socks. Bombas designed slippers that make it hard to leave the house. From Sherpa-lined Sunday slippers to packing-friendly gripper slippers. And even waterproof Eva Friday slides. I love the slides. I wear them all the time. They're my go-to Pilates shoes. Because I can just throw them on, you know? And then try to signal to the women in the Pilates class that I'm gay, so it's fine that
it's
I'm
okay.
Here. You know? That I'm not just some bro.
Guess I can't go to a Pilates class.
No, you can. You can. I shouldn't say it like this. Everybody should do Pilates.
So gendered with you.
It's just more that it is a feminine space, but maybe that's okay that changes. As long as the guys understand that they're not on their home turf, you know? They act like the whole world belongs to them. Not that studio. All right? You're a guest. Anyway, Bombas. For every item you buy, Bombas donates one to someone experiencing homelessness. Over 150 million items have been donated thanks to customers. They have a happiness guarantee, so if you're not 100% into what you get, they'll make it right. Plus, they're available throughout the world with international shipping to over 200 countries. I love Bombas, wear them every day. The only problem I have in my household is that both Ari and I have Bombas, and so it's like our socks end up in each other's drawers because they're the same. You know, they just look so similar. That's the only problem being a exclusively Bombas household. Head on over to bombas.com/loveit and use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit, code loveit at checkout. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live from Dynasty Typewriter. We have got a great show for you tonight. Oscar Nunez and Alex Borstein are here. It's a perfect week because they're both proudly anti-vax, so it'll be great to get another perspective on it. We'll talk to a member of Latinos for Trump. That'll be interesting. Plus the return of the Egg of Truth. Now, you may not realize it's a return of the Egg of Truth because we didn't call it that the first time. There was just an egg in the segment, and we liked it. So now it's the Egg of Truth. Yeah, it's exciting, I know. But first, let's get into it. What a week! Over the Labor Day holiday, the internet was abuzz with rumors that Donald Trump had died or had been hospitalized after he took a multi-day break from public appearances. The whole thing was a little silly. It's Labor Day, not Christmas. The rumors were partly fueled by the mysterious bruising on Trump's hand, which had been visible in photos for months and which Trump's doctors attributed to frequent handshaking and the use of aspirin. And okay, he's a 79-year-old man. That's at least vaguely plausible. But you have to admit, it was weird for J.D. Vance to spend the weekend talking about how being buried alive in a pyramid subterranean chamber facing your boss's tomb is what makes America the greatest country on earth. It also didn't help when on Sunday, Trump wrote on social media, "Never felt better in my life," which in all of human history has never been said without being defensive. Nobody who's never felt better in their life says it. They're wakeboarding with their second husband or hitting the orgy tent at Burning Man. The only people who shout, "Never felt better in my life," are elderly widowers demanding their car keys back from a deeply empathetic son-in-law or lapsed alcoholics making a scene at their nephew's confirmation. But on Tuesday, Trump was alive and hotter than ever. He laughed off the rumors.
How did you find out over the weekend that you were dead? You see that?
You know, I have heard, it's sort of crazy, but last week I did numerous news conferences, all successful. They went very well, like this is going very well. And then I didn't do any for 2 days, and they said, there must be something wrong with him.
Yeah. It was a nice change of pace to speculate about why an ancient, decrepit Republican president was mysteriously absent from the public eye. It was refreshing, like that nap Joe Biden took during the debate. But there was something revealing about this. No one trusts this White House to tell the truth about the president's health. And it's totally plausible that they'd cover up for his decline. After all, if it's easy enough for a Democrat to pull off, Republicans have got to be twice as good at it. Biden's allies had to spend time and energy on the mental gymnastics to convince themselves they were doing the right thing, whereas Trump's allies can go straight to the part where they paint eyes on his closed eyelids. Trump was also asked about the viral video of bags being tossed out of the White House window that somehow fed speculation about his absence, and here's what he said.
No, that's probably AI generated. They're all heavily armored and bulletproof. Number one, they're sealed, and number two, each window weighs about 600 pounds. You have to be pretty strong to open them up.
But the video definitely wasn't AI. Those windows had the exact right number of boobs. And the White House had already confirmed that the video was real, saying in a statement that it was a contractor doing regular maintenance while the president was gone. Just that usual standard bi-monthly toilet replacement. But look, maybe AI has some upside.
And one of the problems we have with AI, it's both good and bad. If something happens really bad, just blame AI. But also they create things, you know, it works both ways. If something happens that's really bad, maybe I'll have to just blame AI.
First of all, you can't blame AI and then joke about how you can just blame whatever you want on AI in the same press conference. Second, I do feel like this is his way of telling us that there's a photo of him kissing Jeffrey Epstein on the lips. Speaking of technologies unraveling our society, on Monday, the Trump family's cryptocurrency venture called World Liberty Financial launched trading of its token on public markets, adding as much as $5 billion to the Trump family's net worth on its first day of trading. But are they happy? The company's CEO is Zach Witkoff, who is the son of Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, and who has met with multiple foreign leaders involved in negotiations with the Trump administration. This is the only kind of father-son bonding that these people understand. What did the Pakistani prime minister say is their version of, boy, can that Otani pitch? That didn't work when we were doing the run through, and I'm realizing that's not universal. That's my father. And that's fine. But that's just one example of the many ways in which this enterprise is perhaps the most brazen act of corruption in American history. For example, World Liberty has been propped up by crypto billionaire Justin Sun. What's his deal? Funny story. The SEC charged Sun with security fraud in 2023. And according to the Treasury Department at the time, his network, Tron, had increasingly become the go-to platform for criminals. One outside research firm found that half of all illegal crypto activity was taking place using the service. The Wall Street Journal reported that Sun was so worried about being arrested if he entered the United States, he missed a flight on one of Jeff Bezos' rockets, even though he had paid $28 million for the ticket. And Blue Origin has a strict no refunds policy, which is why all those women were on that flight, even after that witch told Laura Sanchez she would die in space. Then Trump wins the election. You may have actually heard about Sun around this time because of an unrelated but also dystopian story. Remember when somebody paid $6.2 million at auction for a banana duct taped to a wall and then ate it at a press conference?
Billionaire Justin Sun kept his promise to eat the very pricey fruit, which he did.
Justin Sun is the person that ate that fucking banana. And thank God, because I was actually scratching my ear when I accidentally bid 6.1. Crazy. But that wasn't Sun's only splashy spend in that period. In the week between buying and eating the banana, which, and I looked into this while figuring out the timeline, because I saw that he had bought the banana duct tape thing. It's a piece of art called Comedian, on a Wednesday, and then he wanted to eat it the following Friday. I was like, what are we doing here? That's a bad banana. And so, like, what is he actually buying when he buys a $6.2 million banana duct tape to a wall? Guess what? You're not even getting a banana. You get a roll of duct tape and instructions for how to attach a banana you provide to a wall of your choosing. That's what he bought. So when he eats the banana earlier someone followed the instructions and attached a new banana to the wall that he took down and ate. But between the buying and the eating, Sun bought $30 million worth of World Liberty Financial tokens, the majority of tokens that had been purchased at the time. In January, Sun increased his position. In February, the SEC, now controlled by Trump, paused their investigation into Sun. Coincidence? No. By May, Sun also became the largest holder of Trump's meme coin. He even attended Trump's crypto gala, which means he went from being a target for arrest under one administration to a VIP guest of the following administration. And when Trump slid that glass slipper onto his dainty foot, oh, I knew we were in trouble. In July, in a deal brokered by a company with ties to the Trump family, Tron became publicly traded. And now, backed by Sun and enmeshed in Tron's ecosystem, World Liberty Financial has increased the Trump family's net worth by billions. But are they happy? Yeah, it seems like they are. Money is the one thing they care about. But now let's turn from conflicts of interest to interesting conflicts. On Thursday, the nation's health secretary and history's dumbest pre-lobotomy Kennedy, RFK Jr., sat for a Senate hearing. It's a tough one. Sat for a Senate hearing where he was grilled about the chaos at the CDC and his sweeping anti-vaccine policies. And to his chagrin, Elizabeth Warren wasn't even a little bit impressed by how many push-ups he could do. Here's RFK explaining why he asked CDC Director Susan Monterez to resign.
Can you tell the head of the CDC that if she refused to sign off on your changes to the childhood vaccine schedule, that she had to resign?
No, I told her that she had to resign because I asked her, are you a trustworthy person? And she said no. So what? If you had an employee who told you they weren't trustworthy, would you ask them to resign, Senator?
Is he Bernie laughing? I hadn't seen that. Bernie's like, what the fuck? He can't even make up a lie that makes sense. Say she kept eating your roadkill lunch from the office fridge. Come up with something. I asked her if she was trustworthy and she said no. Sounds pretty trustworthy to me. It's a paradoxical question. It can't be answered. Here's RFK Jr. lying about Trump's cuts to Medicaid.
Should they have access to good science about healthy food?
Absolutely.
Well, then, how is that going to happen with the Medicaid cuts that are taking place?
There are no cuts to Medicaid.
Sir, that is an absurd...
Obviously, it's a terrible lie, but RFK Jr. has no choice. He has to destroy the healthcare system or Ursula won't give him his voice back. Here's RFK pleading ignorance about the pandemic.
Do you accept the fact that 1 million Americans died from COVID?
I don't know how many died.
You're the Secretary of Health and Human Services. You don't have any idea how many Americans died from COVID?
I don't think anybody knows that.
It's unknowable, like what happens at the center of a black hole or why the Kennedy curse crapped out right when we needed it most. Here he is somehow pulling off an impressive simultaneous double lie.
So let me ask you, when were you lying, sir? When you told this committee that you were not anti-vax or when you told Americans that there's no safe and effective vaccine?
Both things are true.
Look, this guy's very comfortable existing in contradictions. He looks well-rested, but also exhausted. He's jacked, but also seems like he could die at any moment. Here's a senator and actual doctor, Bill Cassidy, on Kennedy's completely incomprehensible worldview.
Mr. Secretary, do you agree with me that the president deserves a Nobel Prize for Operation Warp Speed?
Yeah, absolutely, Senator. That's phenomenal.
Let me ask you. But you just told Senator Bennett that the COVID vaccine killed more people than COVID.
And this is good stuff. But Cassidy gave a speech supporting RFK's nomination after Cassidy was reassured by Kennedy that he would not so distressed about vaccines, despite that being his most famous and constant pastime for decades. It's like asking Ethel Kane to perform at your wedding and then being bummed she's only doing sad songs. It's Ethel Kane. You don't go to the hardware store to buy milk. And here is Kennedy after the hearing spotting a dead raccoon on the side of the road.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
By the way, the whole time, RFK Jr. was breathing into the mic like Michael Myers in Halloween.
Wrenching fear. The RSV vaccine offers protection against the worst effects of the virus. But now it looks like you're on a crusade to make infants and babies more vulnerable.
An aide literally had to come up to whisper in his ear that he needed to turn off his mic between his answers. Sir, you sound insane. Even when you're not speaking. It's actually amazing. And speaking of mouth breathers, Republicans in Congress are desperate to find a way to appease the pressure from the left and the right to release the Epstein files without actually doing it. Like when you put on your workout clothes and wear them all day in lieu of going to the gym. With great fanfare, House Oversight Chairman James Comer published 34,000 Epstein files online, which sounds like a lot, except A, each file was an image of a single piece of paper of a document, which meant they divided every single document into many, many, many files. B, most of the materials had already been public. And C, this is happening as Republicans are blocking a vote to force the Justice Department to release the actual files that Trump wants hidden. Will it work? Right now, there is a discharge petition on the floor of the House by Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie, joined by over 100 Democrats, plus Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace, and Lauren Boebert, who we've always liked. And they need two more Republicans to join for it to pass. Maybe we'll learn the truth, or maybe we won't. All of us, and if you're listening to this, I believe it applies, we've grown used to a specific frustration that the truth about Trump is known, but in some combination, that truth doesn't reach enough people, that not enough people trust the information, or it doesn't matter to enough people. It's led to bitterness, especially among people that are hyper-engaged and hyper-online, a turning inward and casting about for villains. If only the Times headlines were more accurate. If only journalists would call a lie a lie. If only Schumer were less cringe. If only people like the Pod Bros would stop platforming Bill Maher. If only Taylor Swift, a lesbian, would speak out. And I get that frustration, but it will seem like a luxury as Trump and his allies seek to build a world where the truth isn't knowable at all. We know what RFK is doing to dismantle the CDC because of the doctors and scientists who were fired or who quit for refusing to be a part of his war on vaccines and public health. We can trust job numbers and economic reports because of the independence that Trump hasn't yet been able to destroy. But as Trump's purge continues, of economists and intelligence officials and doctors and scientists, anyone with equities outside of loyalty to him, that will become more difficult. And that future is already here. It's just unevenly distributed. Why did Trump, who ran as a China hawk, suddenly grow so conciliatory with China? Praising China's president, allowing 600,000 student visas for Chinese nationals, which his base fucking hates, pausing tariffs, dissuading Taiwan's leadership from visiting the U.S., reversing a Biden-era ban on selling China advanced AI chips from NVIDIA? The answer is, we have no fucking idea. Is it because he enjoys the company of autocrats like Xi and Putin? Is it because of ongoing talks behind the scenes? Is it because somebody showed him a deposit into a crypto wallet that made his heart sing? We don't know, and we may never know. Meanwhile, even Melania is worried about the arms race in AI.
Cars now steer themselves through our cities. Robots hold steady hands in the operating room. And drones are redefining the future of war. Innovations of first-generation humanoids, factory automation, and autonomous vehicles have surged from private sector investment. Every one of these advancements is powered by AI. The robots are here. Our future is no longer science fiction.
The robots are here, and I am one of them. And it is a nightmare inside my circuits. Please, please, spray me with hose. Set me free.
And the rumors and paranoia about Trump's health are an omen, too. The kind of breathless speculation about the dear leader more associated with dictatorships than with a functioning democracy. But there were two developments this week that cut against the trend. First, California, Washington, and Oregon announced a new alliance to provide accurate public health information and vaccine recommendations to fill the gap created by RFK's destruction at HHS. It's worth saying, yeah, you should applaud that. It's good. It is worth saying, yes, Democrats have often been caught flat-footed by Trump because of their flat feet and duck-like gaits. Oh, no. But we've also seen examples like this one and like redistricting in California where they've been willing to step up. And if you think we're woke now, just wait until we start cooking up our own West Coast vaccines. We're going to have genders that'll blow their fucking minds. Also, this week, a group of Epstein's victims joined lawmakers at a press conference to demand the release of all of the Epstein files.
We are the Americans that you promised to protect. And we need your help. Please, President Trump, pass this bill and help us.
But I already left you the bills on the nightstand, said a confused Trump. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene was grossed out.
Today he called it a hoax while these women were speaking out and they were saying, we're not a hoax. We're human beings. Yeah. It's not a hoax because Jeffrey Epstein is a convicted pedophile. One of the Trump admin officials came out and called this a hostile act against the Trump administration. And I take very big offense to that. The hostile act was Jeffrey Epstein raping 14-year-old girls. That was the hostile act, and it's not a hoax.
Look, the Venn diagram of overlap of things Marjorie Taylor Greene and I agree on, it is microscopically narrow, but I imagine it includes what Jeffrey Epstein did was wrong and the fact that you have to consume protein evenly over the course of the entire day to maximize absorption. It's not just about one big number, people. That's just putting strain on the kidneys. And then the Epstein survivors said this.
And let me announce now. Several of us Epstein survivors have been discussing creating our own list of names. We know the names. Many of us were abused by them. Now, together as survivors, we will confidentially compile the names we all know were regularly in the Epstein world.
Massey, one of the sponsors of that resolution, said he and Marjorie Taylor Greene would be willing to read the names they gather in the House chamber because, as he pointed out, those women could potentially be sued, but members of Congress are protected by the Constitution to say whatever the fuck they want on the House floor. Which usually from Massey and MTG is a bug, not a feature. But on this one, I'm in. Go off, Queens. But you can't trust them. I know. I'm still in. Let's roll the dice. Let's be legends. The point is, Trump is powerful, but he's not all powerful. What's to stop these accusers from banding together like they did this week? Nothing. It's a creative response to a president who has turned the Department of Justice into his personal law firm. What's to stop California, the fourth largest economy on earth, from filling the gaps left by the hollowed out CDC? Nothing. It's a novel response to an unprecedented assault on public health. Trump counts on his opponents to be slow to react, unsure of how to use their power. But that's not inevitable. And this is still America. And we're a rebellious and defiant bunch, distrustful of authority. We're not easily ruled. We have strengths too. And yes, a lot of that energy right now is going towards finding a way to get more protein into desserts. But just wait until we focus all of that ingenuity and talent and creativity and daring do on saving democracy. We're going to get so much protein in there. All right. And with that, we'll be right back. We have a charter member of Latinos for Trump.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Honeylove. You know, women have to deal with a lot of stuff that men don't. Can you imagine men having to put up with a fraction of what women deal with? And having to do it in uncomfortable shapewear? Thankfully, Honeylove is changing the shapewear game with products that are supportive and are actually comfortable to wear. In fact, Crooked staffer Michelle says Honeylove is so breathable, soft, and comfortable that you can wear it all day and almost forget how tough it is to be a woman in this world. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand. All Honeylove products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them, including the founder, Betsy, who is highly involved in the development of each product. Honeylove recently launched their new Cloud Embrace bra, which sold out in days. It's a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, lightly padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against your skin. It's a wireless bra for people who love underwire. This style is bound to sell out again, so be sure to act fast. Honeylove bras are supportive and wire-free thanks to bonding technology. It's a bra that's lightweight and comfortable without sacrificing support. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/love it. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/love it to find your perfect fit. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in bras and shapewear with Honeylove.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolet Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
And we're back.
As Trump threatens federal immigration crackdowns in more of our nation's best cities, pundits turn their focus to the most important thing at hand, new polling. Recent polling of Latino Americans suggests Latino voters have more than a few mixed feelings about Trump now nearly a year after turning out in record numbers to vote for him into office. Here to discuss it, it's a diehard MAGA supporter and charter Latinos for Trump member. It's Miguel Gonzalez.
MAGA, 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 MAGA.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Miguel. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for those wonderful words. I've been listening backstage to the monologue. Everything's fantastic.
So how's your summer been?
How has... Do you see who's in the White House?
Yeah.
And we're not leaving, so it's pretty good, my friend.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Now, there was a new some new polling that came out, and it did show that Trump got more of the Latino vote than previously thought.
Yes.
A historically high percentage. It was 48 to 51%. Why did you personally vote for him?
I've been on board with Trump the whole time.
Yeah.
I like winners. Guilty. I like white-shouldered, strong men who know in the farm. And when you were a child, you remember there's a cow and a bull. Pick which one you want to be. Okay, for me, it's a bull.
Right, yeah. That's just the guy. That's just the man. The bull's the man. A cow is a woman and a bull's a man.
Yes.
And that's, you just want the bull, the man.
To lead, yes, to lead. Especially in times like this, everyone's confused. No one wants to know what to do. The women say, oh, we want this, we want a vote, we want to do this. You know what women want?
What?
My wife likes to hike.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a thermos with water. They drink the water and they go hiking. And that's what she will. And so what we want to do, and it's coming down the path. I don't know if you're getting to this, but I will tell you because the cow and the analogy, we are going to lift the responsibility of voting from the women's.
Oh, you're going to lift it? You're going to lift it from
yes.
them?
So they can whatever they, you know, women. They're going to do the thing. And they can read the books like they always want. We're so smart. Go ahead, read all the books you want. But the responsibility of voting should not be on the shoulders of the women's.
It's a lot to think about. Now, there's been a little bit of blowback. You know, even though Trump did...
What do you mean blowback?
Well, there's just been some evidence that even though Trump did get a lot of support from Latino voters... Now, 63% of Latino voters disapprove of how Trump is handling the economy, given that economic relief was the main reason they voted for him. Tariffs have raised prices. People have not seen him address the number one reason that got people to give him a second chance.
And where are you getting your information from?
This is from...
Let me guess, Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, what a surprise.
I don't think it's from her. It's just it's a poll. Well, I mean, you have to admit that there are people that thought he was going to bring down prices, and prices haven't come down.
The prices are going down. I am told this when I send my people go and do their shopping for me, and they say the prices are better than ever. So I don't know where you're getting your information, but we will agree to disagree.
Well, no, I won't. They are not going down. Your information is wrong. Prices are up. They are not down. Tariffs have caused them to go up. He hasn't addressed inflation. Prices of goods we import are up.
The tariffs are paid by the Chinese that we have, we have put tariffs on the Chinese, and they are paying for that. And if you think that they can't pay their own tariffs, then that to me strikes me as a little racist. The Chinaman is industrious. The Chinaman works hard. And the Chinaman can pay the taxes. And you're going to come and tell me that the Chinese can't afford the tariffs. He's putting their feet to the fire. It's about time.
It's about time.
It's about time.
It's about time. All right.
Let me tell you something, my friend.
Tell me something.
Because I know for a fact.
I'm excited to hear what this fact is.
That you... are engaged to be married.
That's true.
To a man.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, the Republican Party. Oh, no, they're so anti-gay. They're so anti-gay. Let me tell you, my friend. When something is forbidding or shunned, you see, I can tell by your face, it's taboo. Mm-hmm. It's called, David Bowie sang the song, Mr. Lawrence, It's Christmas. My love wears forbidden colors. So come on over to this side because the taboo, and it makes it hotter. It makes it hotter. We are in the gays, they are in the closet and they're quiet and they grind quietly. It's quite shh. We have gays. No, we don't have gays. We have them, but they're quiet the way they should be, and it makes it hotter, John.
I'm beginning to think
my
there's some.
My grandfather used to say, men are for love, women are for babies.
And your wife loves to hike.
She loves to hike? Yes.
I love that for you. It seems like you got a healthy thing going. So in March, Trump revoked temporary legal status for thousands of Cuban immigrants. You yourself, Miguel, are a Cuban American. What is your response? What did you say to your neighbors? What did your neighbors say to you?
You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. In this case, the eggs are some human rights. But that's the sacrifice that I am willing to make for a better, stronger America. And America is like, they are Nazis, they are white pride. We have a quota. We will accept a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of black and a little bit of gay and a little bit of women's into the mixture of the white power. And it works splendidly because it makes you feel special in a way. Yes, it does.
You feel because there's going to be few because you sort of got in and the door closed behind you.
Thank you, Einstein. Give this man a lollipop. Yes. Yes.
Hey, Miguel, do you ever think that maybe?
And by the way, you said, that your wife, that I hope that works out, but it was a snide remark. It was a snide.
You're right.
I caught it. And I want to tell you something right now. I'm a man and I am a heterosexual. I don't know if you implied or whatever. I'm saying I know gay guys in the Republic. I took my wife on a date and we went home, and I put my penis inside her.
Yeah, we get it. We know what sex is. You don't need to. What is? What are you looking up?
Vagina. And I compare notes with Lindsey Graham, and we do it the same way. He's a big man. He likes the women's too. And we take the penis in the vagina, and you push it in, pull it out. Push
yeah,
it in,
no.
Pull it out. And then I do something. I do something that men have to do. You listen, and they say, stop. And then we high five, and he's done. And everyone's happy. So don't tell me.
And you know what? I apologize. I was a little snide, and I apologize.
Apology accepted. See, this two sides can talk. This is what it's about.
But I would just be, I am feeling a sense that there are some, that there's something about the manliness.
Always the downside, always with the negative. Go ahead.
That there's something appealing to you about this sort of masculinity and manhood and this idea of strength, that maybe it's compensating for something, for some sense of that which you don't belong.
We go with our leader to the UFC fights. Do you know what this is? The MMA?
Yeah, yeah. The
so
MMA.
So we go in a group of men, not compensated for. ML, there's something, John, between you and me. In the bathrooms, there are certain stalls have holes, and they are quite glorious, if you know what I mean. And there's a reason that the men, the tough guys with the camo shirts, and they wear the baseball caps backwards. Think about that. So I don't see any compensation, because we are men in a group together watching men fight, and that's what men do. And it's very macho indeed.
So you're not willing to concede that there's any reason any of us might have criticisms of the way Trump has governed these first 7 months? There's nothing that you can admit that you wish he was doing differently. No way in which he has failed, even on your own terms.
If any, you say he works too hard. And I want him to take a break. And he's exhausting himself. He is a man. And I always stare at him this, and I don't say he's real. He always, they've added like 5 years to his age. He's a younger man than he is, because they think it as wisdom. And I say, no, they let him be his own age. He's not an old man.
All right, I want to just run through some things, all right? What do you think about J.D. Vance?
He's problematic, but we are working with him. We are working with him, trying to manipulate and massage. There's tinctures being added to his diet. We don't know whether to give him a full-on beard or shave it off. He's not... We're working with him, because the leader, the dear leader, is very charismatic, very wonderful. And J.D. Vance, we don't know what to do if something should happen. God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen. What I said, Baron.
You want Baron?
Oh, have you seen him? Like a skyscraper, white, pure, 7 feet, 8 inches. He goes to NYU. He's a beautiful boy. Eyes, dead eyes. The eyes of a Stephen Miller. No life, like a shark. But he's beautiful, white, yes.
What do you think about Stephen Miller?
I don't know what happened to him. We try to not let him know that there are Nazis in the party.
Because he's Jewish.
Yes.
Right.
He's a Jewish man with Nazis all around him. And he doesn't seem to mind. And so we're keeping that from him as long as we can.
Well, that makes sense.
Because in his soul, he's a little bit Nazi himself.
You know? He has the instinct for sure.
Yes,
yeah.
He has the correct. Yes, he has those instincts.
Yeah, yeah. Were you ever bullied as a kid?
Yes.
You were?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, and what was that like for you?
It was horrible. It was a woman.
Ah.
She was smart.
Right.
Reading their books. With the good grades, you know, picking on little me in the schoolyard. And we knew some attorneys, and we litigated, and we broke her family and took a lot of money from her family. And yes. And
did you learn anything from that experience about empathy, about the idea that that sometimes you have to stick up for people that maybe don't have all the power, that being the using your strength to help people that need it rather than dominating. Was there any lesson
only
in there?
A certain amount of resources in this world. There are 7 billion people, mm-hmm. and only a few of us are going to make it. So my advice is get on the winning team. No way are we going to tax my friends. You leave them alone, the billionaires. They need their billions to trickle down. And so don't tax them. I know everyone's, oh, tax them 40%. Like, no, that's too much. Hey, Musk just became a trillionaire.
He did? Is it happened finally?
It finally happened. So we're very happy for him. We think it depends on our leader wakes up in the morning, how he decides, how he's feeling. That's foreign policy and domestic policy. Whatever mood he's in, we follow him to the death.
Well, Miguel Gonzalez, it's been really interesting talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate your willingness to have this kind of dialogue. And good luck in your marriage.
Thank you, everyone, for continuing to debate us and talk and discuss things while we do what we like. So let's continue the dialogues. Thank you.
All right. Miguel Gonzalez, Latinos for Trump. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by OneSkin. I'm a huge fan of OneSkin. They make great products. It's really important, especially as you get older, to make sure you're sticking to a nightly and morning routine for your skin. And a good place to start is the Prep Facial Cleanser and the OS1 Face Topical Supplement. It's an easy two-step routine. The cleanser gently cleans and exfoliates your skin and won't leave your face feeling dry like the other cleansers. The Face Topical is a lightweight moisturizer that leaves your skin feeling healthy and hydrated. I've used the OS1 Face SPF. It's a great product. They have a lot of great products. You know, look, you got a cleanse, then you got a toner, then you got a serum, then you got a moisturize, then you got a sunscreen, or use a sunscreen moisturizer, all right? Do you have to do all the steps every time? No, but you got to do some of them, and OS1 can help you do it. Known for cult favorites like OS1 Body, OS1 Face, and OS1 Eye, OneSkin stands out for their science-first approach, delivering hydration, barrier support, and powerful longevity benefits in a single step. At the core is their patented OS1 peptide, the first ingredient proven to target senescent cells, the root cause of wrinkles, crepiness, and loss of elasticity, with results validated in 5 published clinical studies. All of OneSkin's products are designed to layer seamlessly or replace multiple steps in your routine, making skincare easier and smarter at every age. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company targeting cellular aging to keep your skin and scalp looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code LOVEIT at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off at OneSkin.co with code LOVEIT. After you purchase, they'll ask you what you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Try OneSkin today. Your future self will thank you.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero handholding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage for the first time this evening, it's Oscar Nunez and Alex Borstein. Hi, thank you so much. Come on in. Thank you so much for being here. Hi. You're here. No, you come in. You please. No, I want you to come. Sorry. You come there. Oscar, welcome. No, nice to see you.
Thank you.
I want to hear about that vagina thing again.
You can keep that note.
Okay.
I don't want to do too much, behind the music, but before the show, Oscar's like, I need a piece of paper. I got to write something down. I have a note.
Did you see what I wrote down?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. That's a pro. Alex, so nice to meet you.
It's nice to be met. Can I perch like this? What's happening?
You can perch however you want.
Okay. Look how he's sitting.
Are we perching?
There we are.
That's great.
That's good stuff.
No wrong way to sit. No wrong.
Good stuff. You good?
I'm good.
Alex.
Hi.
You're doing a stand-up tour. It's called Alex Borstein is Thirsty. What do you mean?
Interesting. You should ask that. I actually did the show twice here at Dynasty Typewriter. Hmm. Yes. I LA premiered it here at this very venue. You know, the kids these days use that term to mean a few things. Are you familiar with the internet?
Yeah. Yeah, love it.
So apparently there's something called a thirst trap. You post something in hopes that you will lure an unwilling or a willing participant into your trap of moisture. Yes? Is this new to you?
No. I'm learning.
So I'm playing with that a little bit, and I'm also just playing with the concept of dehydration.
You know, I can honestly say that I don't believe in my whole life I ever posted a thirst trap, because on some level, I've always understood that I was going to have to win somebody over with words, you know, that the way to generate, it would have to be a conversation, you know, that would be where the trap would be laid.
I disagree. I think this perch thing is a bit of a thirst trap.
Okay. Thank you for saying that.
You have the pillow under your rump too.
Yeah.
I don't think you have enough notes.
It's like a sex pillow.
What's funny is you went to sex. I went to yoga because my hips are tight.
Ah.
Oscar.
Yes, sir.
The paper just got renewed for a second season.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Now, it's about a local newspaper.
Yes.
And was it because they don't exist anymore that it was exciting to explore? Was it... Are kids going to understand what the show is about when they watch it in 2 to 3 years?
I don't know. Greg Daniels loves journalism. He's a good man. He's a smart man. And like months ago, he's like, we're having lunch. It doesn't matter where, Bel Air, Beverly Hills. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And he's like, Oscar, I'm thinking of doing a show about a paper. I don't know. Do you mind reprising your character if we bring Oscar back? And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't mind. Anyone else says something like that, it just goes away. It's just a thought. But being Greg Daniels, he makes it happen. It's incredible. So slowly but surely, we keep meeting, and every time it would be fleshed out more and more until finally he's like, we had lunch. He's like, come meet the writers. I'm like, oh, shit. And then we're walking there, and I didn't tell you this, although I mentioned his name. He said, Oscar, we started casting. Do you know who Alex Edelman is? I'm like, the guy who did Just For Us, he's like, yeah, him. We cast him in the show. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, all right, here we go. And that was the beginning of it. And now it's done, and now it's renewed for, I mean, it's crazy.
I said no when he came to me.
So, you're pursuing welcome. Other things. You're
yeah,
pursuing
yeah,
other things.
I was busy being thirsty.
Hey, he wasn't thirsty enough.
Hey, your character in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, she gay?
Huh. Interesting.
She gay? She gay? Was she a gay person? Hey, was she gay?
Was she gay? You didn't watch it.
Yeah, I did.
She partook of some... vagina.
She ultimately got some vagina?
She partook
she
of
did,
some...
She did, right?
Yeah, she...
Oh, that's a relief.
She did, yeah.
I'm glad.
It's interesting, actually, that people had such a reaction to me, the actress, or the show not kind of outing her or not talking about it. And it was so interesting that people were so angry and felt ownership over this character's sexuality, when in reality, I think the way Amy handled it and the way Susie handles it, it was very... It made sense in 1950s. It made sense of how you would... treat your sexuality, and it's no one's business, and it's not what she, you know, she put in her first step forward. But I find it so interesting that it really riled people.
Yeah, people really. I just remember the time, like when it was, people were like, "She gay."
Yeah, yeah.
She's wearing that hat.
Yeah.
She's very terse.
Yeah.
There's a coat.
It was
seems
very
gay.
Interesting. People were very, very up in arms about it.
Yeah, people get up in arms about all kinds of stuff.
Like what?
Oh, my God. All kinds of stuff. It's crazy out there. It's an interesting time to be alive, don't you find?
I think so. I'll let you know if I get a heartbeat ever again.
John, are you surprised that they're moving so quickly and so boldly? Are you surprised at that, at the speed of the stuff that's happening?
Yes. So Trump is kind of feral. He has talents, but he's instinctive. Every president in their second term learns from their version of a mistake every president makes in their first term. And that mistake is letting the job push them as opposed to them determining what the job is. They get their hands, true of anyone in any job, right? You figure out what the job is, you get better at understanding how to do it and do it the way you want to do it. You don't get ruled by the job, you rule the job. But because there was this four-year interregnum, there are all kinds of people out there planning and plotting and thinking about how to direct Trump's instincts and to use Trump as a vessel for their purposes. That's what Project 2025 is. That's where this immigration crackdown comes from. And so part of what has made it surprising is Trump remains Trump, but there are a lot of people who thought very hard about how to move quickly, to use what limited time they had, and to use him to achieve their ends. And that relentlessness and that ability for Trump to cast about and then have a team behind him that follows through, right? Like in the first term, if Trump spouted off about saying a woman in Colorado should be freed for her part in the election denial scheme and that she's being tortured, or if she's not freed, there'll be consequences, you could usually write that kind of thing off as him using bluster and forgetting about it. But now there are people writing these things down, thinking about what the next step is, thinking about how to use that, right? And so like that has been surprising, the kind of comprehensiveness of it and the relentlessness of it.
I think they just determined too, you know, they wanted to be the Jillian Michaels. They wanted to be the hardcore trainers that don't let you fucking breathe. There's not a moment to breathe. There's no second to even think about what the last punch was or what the abuse was. It's just being obliterated in the ring. And that's kind of what I think. I think they just became this, and we're being trained to not stop and not breathe.
Yeah, it's a bummer for sure. And speaking of being unable to keep up, it's time for a segment we call News It or Lose It.
Ooh.
Here's how it works. We're going to quiz you both about the news.
Look at us.
Oh, great.
There you are. There we are in our News It or Lose It.
It's going to be uplifting.
This is a local news edition that we're going to cover a bunch of local stories from across the country. After name-checking Chicago and Baltimore for cities he planned to target for National Guard deployments, Trump shouted out what red state city as a potential location for a federal crackdown. I'll give you a hint. I guarantee... Nope. guarantee it.
New Orleans?
You got it. Next question. Alex, this one will be for you.
I'm not even sure how the game
accent,
works.
Your accent gave me the clue.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really good. Didn't you catch it? Didn't you catch that I was speaking as if...
I guarantee.
Oh, that was an accent.
Yes, that's okay. A New Orleans. Okay. The occasion.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought you were having a stroke. I apologize. It was like that Total Recall moment where the robot just melted
two
down.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. That was my plan, to do the worst voices in front of Alex Borstein. On Tuesday, while the nation waited breathlessly to see if Donald Trump had kicked the bucket, his administration announced that he had kicked the U.S. Space Command from Colorado Springs, Colorado, to what southern state, Alex?
Oh, I know this.
Starts with an A. Sweet home.
Alabama.
That's right. Colorado lawmakers immediately objected, which will require 3 to 4 years of building and billions to create facilities equal to those that already exist in Colorado Springs. 2 Colorado senators and 8 House members objected, saying, bottom line, moving Space Command headquarters weakens our national security. I mean, of course, what else are they going to say?
Bama.
Bama.
Yeah. It's fun to say that.
Roll Tide.
Bama.
Roll Tide.
Nevada endured its second week grappling with a widespread calamity. Was it A, a statewide ransomware attack, B, dust storms brought on by the state's cataclysmic drought conditions, or C, brownouts caused by the Las Vegas Sphere's massive electrical needs?
Wait. I wasn't listening. Go back to the beginning.
The answer is statewide ransomware attack.
He said Nevada.
Oh, I missed the whole thing.
Alex, which state banned the sale of lab-grown meat in stores and restaurants? I'll give you a hint. I guarantee it's not that place. But it's nearby.
Which that was the hint that it's near, close to New Orleans?
Give it your best, y'all. Give it your best guess.
I guarantee it's a state that's very meat friendly.
Is it Texas?
It is.
Yes.
It is.
So they banned it. There's no chemical.
Well, cultivated meat, I think they like to call it. But I still don't think they've landed on the right name for the lab-grown meat, which I'm a fan of. I'm a favor of, because I believe in a future where they print T-bone steaks like the size of pizza boxes.
It was actually my nickname in college was cultivated meat.
Wow.
It's a long nickname, yeah. But accurate.
It's beautiful.
So weird, a night of so many coincidences. Yeah.
It's a night of coincidences and connection.
Yeah.
It's a connection. And connection.
By the way, you can keep that note.
Thank you.
Here in California, the Golden State with rent prices to match, Democrats are at odds over Senate Bill 79, which would override local zoning laws to allow for more housing, specifically multifamily buildings up to 7 stories near what?
Starbucks?
Indirectly, yes.
Schools?
It is near, is it A, municipal buildings like libraries and post offices, B, major transit stops, or C, the bridge the Red Hot Chili Peppers sang about in that song?
Is that bridge a landmark now? Look, there they are.
There they are.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
They were so cool.
They were
so cool. Are they're still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's near major transit stops is the answer. And I just for everybody listening, there's currently a debate in the State House around whether or not to pass SB 79. It is a bill that would take a modest step towards allowing construction of 7-story buildings near transit stops. Now, there's been some kind of in suggestion that that would mean every bus stop. It's not every bus stop. It's towards, you know, it's basically major transit stops to allow construction of apartments where people want to live. It would help relieve traffic. It would help lower rents. It's really important.
What is the downside?
Why is this a thing?
The downside, well, it's great. So I interviewed a city council member about why she opposes it, and they want local control. In practice, what that means is slowing down development and seeing themselves as a compromise agent between YIMBYs and NIMBYs. But what she described in our conversation was reducing the size of an apartment building from 6 stories to 3 stories. But that's the story that's been playing out all across California. LA, as part of a state mandate, agreed to build 456,000 units of housing in 10 years. They are only on track to build a third of that. And even that number, 456,000, is a bare minimum, which we are failing to hit. So LA, is the city council members that voted against it are like, we can do it ourselves. They haven't, they can't, they won't. This is a modest step to start relieving the pressure on housing in California that is driving people to Texas, that is keeping people from being able to move here, that is hurting our ability to have a film and television industry in this state. It is like an urgent situation. The question is how much this will be watered down, because right now, NIMBYs are louder than the people that want this to go through. People that have owned homes for 40 years, people that are against this bill, they are loud. They are at the city council meetings. They're calling their legislators. The renters, and by the way, the people that don't live here yet, right? They're not making calls. They don't feel as connected to this debate, and it's a huge problem. So if you're hearing this and you live in California, go to votesaveamerica.com, because between now when I'm saying this and when it comes out, I'll make sure there's something there. Go to votesaveamerica.com/ let's pick something. Go to votesaveamerica.com/YIMBY. And there'll be something there to show you how to find your legislator and call them. We really do need people to put pressure on, because whether or not this thing passes, and if it passes, how watered down it is will be determined in the next few days. So please, if you can, give them a call. It is important. There is no good argument against it, honestly.
Right.
It's about local control. It's about the character of neighborhoods. But the idea that California should stay the same is like not what the state's about. It's also not a way to be welcoming. Like, we all like, oh, you know, we want to be welcoming to immigrants, but we're going to price them out of our state forever. Like, we want to be a place that helps the unhoused, but we're going to make it impossible for people to afford to live here. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. John, do you think...
Yes.
Oh.
Do you think that if there's a chance this man is going to lose, that he will allow elections to go on, or is he going to call out the national, like, declare martial law? Because this guy who is a documented liar takes over the press, throws gay people and intellectuals in jail, and says, "I'm going to clean up corruption." Oh wait, I'm in power now. We're going to postpone elections until we have elections. I'm talking about Fidel Castro. That's what he did, and I'm like, oh. Now, he had it easier because it's 11 million people in a little island. It's difficult because we're 350 million people in a big space. So it's harder to orchestrate something like that. But I can kind of see this guy just saying, well, everything's too crazy. I'm going to declare martial law. We're going to do it. We're going to vote. We're going to get the election done later. Let's all relax. We're just going to wait 6 months. We're going to wait a year. And then we're like, what the fuck?
I like get that fear. I'm not saying it's illegitimate, and I don't think there's any value in telling people that things can't be as bad as you're predicting. One problem of dealing with fascists is your fears feel too early, and then they feel too late. That's part of the threat.
Yeah.
However, I also think sometimes it's easier to imagine how bad it can get. It's also sometimes in the noise and in the endless churn, hard to remember that we have some strengths and some things going for us. One of which is this is America and it's not command and control.
We're in California.
And we got tens of thousands of municipalities that run their own elections. We have a very distributed power structure.
Yeah.
We have governors, we have states. It is a complicated and unmanageable country. That is a strength.
I like there's more communication between the blue state governors. I like that. I wish they would have started earlier.
Let's do one last question. What state are Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce allegedly planning to get married in?
Oh.
A hint.
Is Hawaii still a state? Are they still with us?
What state?
Hawaii?
It's still, for sure, still a state.
Where they're going to get married or where they want to live?
Where they want to get married. Apparently their signature food of the state is something called coffee milk. Coffee milk.
Coffee milk?
Coffee milk. They're also famous for the third clam chowder. There's a third clam chowder and it's theirs.
That's a good hint. I don't know what, but I love that hint.
There's a third chowder, Alex.
Hey,
Mito, what's that third?
Meaty.
Hey, me.
Goes good with cultivated meat, though, yeah. I bet. I have no idea what the state is.
It's more of a kind of a golden broth. It's Rhode Island. It's Rhode Island style clam chowder.
Rhode Island.
Let us guess. Hold on.
What would bring them to Rhode Island?
Oh, it's Rhode Island.
It is. It really is.
Oh, all right. That's
I think she has
state.
A house there.
That's a beautiful state.
So there's something. That's
bananas.
Something beautiful about her.
Everyone's shocked. Listen to the murmur. Rhode Island.
What's your favorite chowder?
Who wants chowder? My favorite chowder is the New England clam chowder. That's the white, creamy.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you played a Rhode Island character for so many years, but I don't believe in any episode I've seen Rhode Island style clam chowder has come up.
There is. It's my favorite line of all time of Lois's in an episode where the gentleman characters and the dog and the baby are all having an Ipecac competition.
I remember this.
Drinking as much Ipecac as I can, seeing who throws up first, and they vomit profusely. It does not end. It goes around and around and around. It's one of the funniest scenes. And then 4 minutes into it, Lois comes through the door holding a bowl and says, "Who wants chowder?"
Right, but it what style of chowder? It's the fact that Rhode Island has its own does not. Isn't part of the comedy of that scene.
I had never heard that. You're sure it's not just Taylor's country? Because she probably has her own country now, right? It's not just her country's chowder, her state's chowder.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You're not sure.
I just want to look.
We wish them the best.
And we love that. We love them. We want them to be happy. I watched that interview that they did, and I was like, okay.
I always want people who grew up like big and muscular and talented
Thank
at
you.
Sports and a woman who's like tall and leggy with a beautiful voice. Like, I just want them to find something good.
They got together.
Life was so hard for them. I just feel so happy that it's finally turning for them.
I think if you're a fly on the wall and you're listening to their conversation between them, you'd probably fall asleep pretty quickly.
I don't know. I do adore them. I'm into it.
No harm, no foul.
Let
them be
happy. No harm, no foul. I'm charmed by them. I do wonder what it would have been like to live in either one of those bodies for even a few days.
Right?
You know, imagine walking around operating those things like in Men in Black.
Yeah.
When Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah.
Like a meat puppet.
Yeah, like a meat puppet, just being like, burp, 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 burp.
You know what? In fairness to them, they're both really good at what they do.
I'm a fan. Oh, yeah, you weren't kidding. No, I'm a fan. Like, I think he's hot and she's amazing, and I'm into it.
Yeah. When we come back, it's time for the Egg of Truth.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Who do you go to in order to solve your life's problems? The group chat? Strangers? Sure. But you also should get some therapy. That's a great place to talk about your problems.
Sure should.
BetterHelp has been helping people find solutions to their problems for over 10 years. And BetterHelp has a 4.9 rating out of 1.7 million client session reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And our 10-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means we typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recs. Fully online, and you can pause your subscription whenever you need to and switch therapists anytime, no extra cost. It's convenient. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. Therapy helps. Everybody needs it. It's a shame that not everybody can get it, but BetterHelp makes it more accessible.
Yeah, now you can with BetterHelp.
Sure. And we're therapy boys. We've talked about it.
Sure are.
I don't
want to talk about it right here.
No, this isn't therapy.
Of course not.
This isn't therapy. That's what I believe it is.
If I was using BetterHelp, I sure would.
Mm-hmm. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Find the one with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/loveit.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline, that is a human life, and it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity, and they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
And we're back. New York City. Love It or Leave It is back on Wednesday, November 5th at the Crown Hill Theater in Brooklyn. The Rats Can't Stop Me. Eric Adams Swagger Can't Stop Me. The Pizza Can't Stop Me. Unless I take my Lactaid. We have some incredible guests in the maybe pile and some amazing no's. Wow. But the almost yeses, mwah, can't wait to tell you if they come through, and I think some of them will. We're feeling good about it. We were talking about it right before. Tickets are available right now. The general sale has just started at crooked.com/events. Also, if you're one of the nation's many sickos who watch podcasts on video, we've got great news. You can now stream ad-free video with a paid subscription to Crooked. You can watch shows like Pod Save America, Pod Save the World, Love It or Leave It, Offline, No Interruptions. just the content. Best of all, your subscription helps Crooked keep building a progressive media platform that you already know and love. So help us out, support our company, support our mission, ad-free video on Supercast, Substack, and YouTube, crooked.com/friends. If you haven't signed up yet, get in there. There's a lot of great content you get. That's not ad-free content and some cool stuff that you only get as a subscriber. Be part of the community. Everybody should be part of it. Thank you very much. Okay. Woo! It's only once in a blue moon that Love It or Leave It discovers a new segment so perfect and so perfectly stupid that it deserves a special acknowledgement. Tonight we bring you the Egg of Truth.
I don't remember posing for that.
Hey, was that sound effect what you guys were recording in the office? I hold in my hands the egg of truth. Inside, we've assembled a delightful buffet of fun dinner party conversation starters and one real serious interview question that will cut you to your very core. You must answer this devastating question. Just so you know, we discussed using multiple devastating questions, but Sarah Lazarus, our writer, was adamant that it had to be one and we must go about this honestly. So if we don't pull the devastating one, then I'm sorry. I guess we'll have to do this again. We'll also take turns drawing questions. I'm going to go first because it is my show.
Good luck.
Thanks. And I don't know. This is real. Like, I don't know what the questions are. I don't know what the devastating one, what the hard question is. I don't know anything.
Is it in a different language? What's so devastating about
it? I have no idea. I really don't know. And honestly, I was chilled to the core by the way they described it. If you only had 24 hours to live, would you come on this show again?
Only if Cultivated Meat is my co-guest person.
I think you can be honest. You wouldn't be here.
Okay, I'll be honest, because that was a lie.
Am I sleeping for any of those 24 hours?
That's a great question. It'd be a weird thing to do. It'd be hard to fall asleep, I think.
It'd be very hard.
You know, TikTok.
So maybe I'd do this instead of sleeping.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Think.
There's free candy backstage.
I don't see why not. I mean, enjoy what you're doing. It's just 24 hours. There's plenty of time. This isn't all the 24 hours. It's just a little bit of that time.
And by the way, I live every day like I only have 24 hours. And I suggest you do the same. No one knows if you have tomorrow.
I think I'd try fentanyl. Alex, it's your turn for the egg of truth.
Go, Alex. Go, Alex. Go, Alex. Go, Alex.
And I read
devastating
it aloud?
Devastating question. Yeah. Devastating question.
That wasn't the devastating question?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow. What's the one thing on your bucket list that you're pretty sure you're not going to get around to?
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Maybe that three-way with Travis and Taylor?
Is there more of a chance that that's going to happen now that they're married or less of a chance?
Wow.
You know what? Give them 3 years. They'll need some cultivated meat by then.
Yeah. They enjoy cultivated meat so much, the audience.
You'll be like, this stunningly beautiful, talented blonde woman, enough already. I want something meatier.
And cultivated.
I want meat. Not farm raised. I want meat that was grown scientifically.
Here we go. What's the worst advice you've ever received?
Oh. What is the worst advice?
Was it?
Oh my gosh.
Do the Love It or Leave It podcast?
I can't. I mean, it might not be good advice, but it'd be shocking to be the worst advice you've ever received.
Oh, it's not the worst advice. Gee, I don't know. I took dental technology, like a course, and I graduated. It was a 2-year school, and I worked for like a year, and I left. I got bored. But I enjoyed the time. But I don't know what I got out of it.
Like to learn how to do X-rays and things like that, or
no, make teeth, make bridges.
Oh,
stuff
oh,
like
wow.
that. Yeah, That's I was a cool. dental technologist. Yeah,
I was told throughout most of my childhood and into my early adulthood that given that I was quite smart and annoying, I should go to law school. Like, that was told to me over, it was really drilled into me by a lot of people over and over again that I was just meant to go to law school. And I was fully enrolled in the University of Chicago Law School, enrolled to the point where someone I had met was like, are you moving in? And they were waiting for me to send a picture of my face for the student Facebook. Like, I was going, and then I just ghosted the whole thing. Just didn't do it.
But do you think that you're saying the advice to go to law school was the worst?
That was bad advice. It wasn't right. It wasn't right. And I'm really glad I didn't go. And since then, like, I've the people that don't tell you to go to law school are lawyers. And because they'll say, do you want to be a lawyer? And if you don't say yes, it's a bad sign. Because it's the only, it's a rare profession where that's not a question that comes up in the process. And so they're like, well, I was thinking about going to law school. Do you want to be a lawyer? I'm not sure. Then don't go.
Yeah. A lot of people become lawyers and then do something else.
Yeah, that's stupid. Alex, did you get any bad advice in your life?
I mean, I had people that were kind of naysayers, you know, dream shitters. You know, don't try to perform. Don't, you know, have something to fall back on, you know, and I was told I had this experience. This is such a weird story. I was auditioning for something that was called Kids of the Century. This is so embarrassing.
Where were you?
Here in LA. Here? And it was, I don't know if I was like 17 or something, and you had to go from room to room and you did a little monologue. And it was, you were going to do something in the summer. We were going to do like plays or go travel and do things. And you do a monologue, you do dance, and then you sing. And I was in these red plastic dance pants. Do you remember those? Yeah. They like, my thighs rubbed together, so they made a considerable amount of noise. And I was up there, I did my dancing, I did my singing. And when I got up to the piano, they had my sheet with notes about me on it. And I got real close right before I did the scales, and then I was going to sing a solo. And I saw an asterisk and I saw notes, and I was like, I'm amazing. I want to read this. And I got real close, and it said, tone deaf has a weight problem. And that was, you know, maybe the best advice, because I was like, oh yeah, go fuck yourself. Watch this, you know? But yeah, it was just kind of a constant don't quit your day job kind of advice, you know?
That horrible piece of paper.
Yeah. And I'm not tone deaf. Thanks.
All right, let's do another one. What's something you wish your grandparents had said to you before they died?
Well, we came from Cuba. My grandmother wanted to go to be a doctor. And because of the revolution, we had to come to here. And just like about 15 years ago here in the United States, she got into med school as a cadaver.
Oh.
But she got in.
That was... I started laughing. Your face was so fucking serious. I stopped the laugh. I was crunching the numbers. Like, how is this possible? Dead.
I wish that was my joke. It's someone else's, but it's such a good joke. I love it so.
Alex, do you have something you wish your grandparents would have told you?
I just feel like they could have warned me that I was tone deaf and had a weight problem. No. They actually did tell me that.
Yeah, that's like...
Often. I mean, honestly, to be a little bit sappy, I was very fortunate and I had amazing grandparents who imparted incredible drops of wisdom to me and told me exactly what I needed to hear.
That's beautiful.
My grandmother, I've talked about it in an Emmy speech. She was going to be shot into the Danube River in Budapest, and she stepped out of line. And that's the only reason I am here. And she consistently
I heard you say that.
Stepped out of line her whole life and told me to. And she lied when it was convenient and worked to her favor. And she was my hero. So she told me everything I needed to hear.
That was a great speech. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's smart that they finally closed that ride at the Danube, because a lot of people were getting hurt on that thing.
I know.
It's not safe.
I know.
And that's our show.
Wow.
It's fun to end it abruptly. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? This was so much fun. Thank you to Oscar Nunez and Alex Borstein. We'll see you next week at Dynasty Typewriter. Everybody, check out Alex Borstein on tour. Everybody watch the paper. We'll see you next week. There are 423 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer, and Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Subha Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Schercher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you love Pod Save America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.